AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
I owe Nieder if anybody will call in today.
I owe Nieder if they know what the number is. Oh, you can also tweet at us. You can also tweet at us. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message.
I'm just trying not to say anything.
I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Right. Yeah. You can also send us an email, host@agritalk.com. Every month, we take a look at the details of the Purdue University Ag Economy Barometer with Dr. Jim Mintert, and he joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you? Hello, Jim. Wow, okay. Looks like we've got to do a little bit of work to get him on here.
Okay. Jim, can you hear me?
Hey, there he is. Now we got you. How you doing, Jim? Right. There for a second, I was thinking I got kicked off. I couldn't hear anything. Jim, glad that you're back. How are you?
Very good. It's great to be back on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it when you come on with these details. Let's do the overview of the overall index first. What happened?
So the index was down 5 points from last month. That's a pretty small change. So but if you compare it to last year, this time we're down about 10%. If you compare it to 2 years ago, we're down about 28%. So it's still a pretty soft sentiment reading, certainly compared to where we were 2 years ago and tail end of 20 and beginning of 2021.
Right. Okay. So was it the current conditions or was it the index of future expectations that pulled the overall down?
Surprisingly, it was current conditions that pulled it down. Really? Current conditions was down 9 points this month. That's 22% below where it was this time last year. The future expectation index was only down about 3 points compared to last month. And that leaves it just about 2% different than it was this time last year. So I don't know about you, Chip. I was a little bit surprised by that because as you think about where we're at from a price standpoint and where I think a lot of people are with respect to yield. So that was a little surprising.
I'm thinking about when the survey was done. It was probably done. Well, it's usually done around the 20th of the month. So this would have been around, this would have been after the crop production report, wasn't it?
Right. If you think about the WASDE report and the price reaction following it, we had some concerns there, and so particularly on the soybean side. So I think that might have been a factor this month. But still, when you think about it from a profitability standpoint, for most people, this is still going to be a pretty good year. And so it was a little surprising to see that current condition index come down as much as it did. And, you know, one of the interesting things about those two indices is that for a long time, the future expectation index was above the current condition index. Mm-hmm. And now we're basically running neck and neck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we think about the future expectations, I'm sure that you're asking the question again about the biggest challenges. What was identified this month?
Well, biggest concerns, no big surprise. People are still very worried about input cost. I think this month it was 44% of the people chose that as their biggest concern. That's down a little bit from last month. Last month, I think it was 53%. The interesting thing, though, is people are starting to become more worried about interest rates. That's up to 23%. You look at last month alone, that was 14%. So that's a fairly big move on that one. And I think it tells you that people are aware of what's going on with respect to the change in monetary policy and potential implications it has for farm profitability, not so much here in the fall of 22, but certainly as you look ahead to 23 and 24.
Right. What about prices? For crops, for livestock, where does that fit into their concern levels?
Well, that's really interesting. I'm glad you asked that because One of the things that's going on is people are becoming more worried about things like interest rates and continuing to be concerned about availability of inputs, but less concerned about crop and livestock prices collapsing. Yeah. So to put that in perspective, I think when we asked that question in July, 19% of the people in the survey said they were worried about lower crop and livestock prices. That fell a little bit last month, I think, to about 11%. And then it dropped again this month to 8%. And at the same time, availability of inputs really hasn't changed. 14% of the people say that's still their top concern. That's about where it's been for a long time now, 14, 15% being very worried about simply availability of inputs.
Okay. The reason that I asked the question specifically about crop and livestock prices is because I don't want people to become complacent with their outlook for the markets. Just because, you know, the September WASDE came in and it was supportive for corn. We get the quarterly grain stocks report. It was supportive for corn. And I'm picking up an attitude from some that, hey, this corn market's got the rest of the markets. It's gonna hold everything up for at least until the middle of 2023. And Jim, I think that's a dangerous attitude to have.
I agree, because there's a lot of negatives out there with respect to corn demand, both on the export side and on the ethanol usage side. And of course, continuing uncertainty with respect to what's going to shake out from the Black Sea region. So, yeah, I think particularly as you look down the road, this is not a time to become complacent about marketing strategies. But you're right. I think there is a little, we haven't picked this up in our survey, but in conversations, I have picked this up as well. Yeah. The idea that the strength showed up as the year unfolded for corn and soybeans last year. And I think there's a lot of people expecting some sort of a repeat of that. And that is definitely not in the cards, or at least certainly not a lock that it's in the cards.
Yeah. And the demand issues. Yes, we've had higher corn prices, but when you hold prices high enough for a long enough period of time, it starts to have an impact on overall use. And I think that's where we're at, Jim.
Well, I agree with that. The other thing is, if you look back to last year, one of the issues that supported pricing in the U.S. was production problems in South America.
Yes.
This year in South America, we're looking at big acreage increases, especially in soybeans. Yep. And if they don't have weather problems, and they're going into the production season, the planting season, in a much better situation than they were this time last year. So the odds of seeing a repeat in South America of what we saw last year don't look very good at this point in time.
Right. Okay. Investment. What's the attitude towards investments in the operations?
Well, it continues to be interesting. This was record low for the Farm Capital Investment Index. So people don't think now is a good time to make large investments. It was down 8 points this month to a reading of 31 versus 39 last month. But for the third month in a row, we followed up and asked the people that said it's not a good time to make those large investments, what's their primary reason for saying that? And they come back with the same response. The increase in prices for farm machinery and new construction is what makes them say it's a bad time. And as I kind of point out to people pretty routinely now, just because you think it's a bad time doesn't mean you're not going to step in and make a purchase. You don't feel good about it because you're not getting a good deal or a good bargain, but you might still step in and do it. And I think we're going to see some of that here in the fourth quarter, particularly as people start taking a look at their taxable income situation and get some recommendations about how to manage that from their CPA. I suspect we're going to see some interest in making some investments here in the fourth quarter.
I think so. Davis.
Dr. Minchert, I was really interested about the question you asked about cover crop usage. You found about 6 out of 10, 57% of respondents said they're currently planting cover crops. But of those respondents, they're only planting it on 25% or less of their cropland, or half of those responding anyway. Does that indicate to us necessarily that these producers are kind of dipping their toe into cover cropping, and let's give it a try on part of our acreage and see how she goes?
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty accurate assessment. You know, if you look at it, I was a little surprised at the 57% who said, yes, we plant cover crops on at least a portion of our acreage. We've asked this question before, and that's a larger percentage saying yes than we've gotten in the past. And certainly as you drive around, you know, in my case, the state of Indiana, in your case, maybe the state of Iowa, It doesn't look like there's 57% of the producers that are planting cover crops, but the follow-up when we asked what proportion of your farm do you devote to cover crops, and when people said 25% or less, I suspect some of those are very small percentages, literally a trial kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe one farm or one field that has a problem that they're worried about soil erosion.
To capture the carbon?
No. So that was probably the most interesting thing about this whole thing was when we asked, you know, why are you doing this? And I think only 5% of them said it was primarily to sequester carbon, which I think reinforces findings that we've had on some other surveys, which is if you want to encourage people to plant cover crops for carbon credits, you're going to have to raise the rates that people are offering. And I think this is very consistent with that.
Yep. Yep. Or prove to them that it's for soil health and the benefits that come from planting cover crops for the soil health and so on. So, yeah, absolutely. Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you, Chip. Look forward to next month.
You bet. You bet. All right. That is Purdue University ag economist Jim Mintert. We're going to get the Farmer Forum going next. We've got Gary Niemeyer from Illinois, Dwayne Faber from Washington.